I'd like to introduce to you David McConathy. He's sitting right in front of us here. He's from Louisiana and has a wife and two daughters. I don't know where I got four from. You're multiplying while you're here. You're hard to tell which are yours and which are not. So it's been a treat to get to know some of these folks. Last night we met them at the Independence Day barbecue, and we had a good time. David is not a preacher. He's just like the rest of us here, just doing this because he loves the Lord. His real, I don't know if I can call it a real job, no. His other job is an air traffic controller, so he's going to guide us through the word today and lead us through. We'll see how that goes. I haven't heard an air traffic controller speak that I know of yet, so we'll have to see what sort of style that comes. But maybe we could invite you to come and join me up here, and you have some introductions to make as well to the others who are in the group. Is that right?
Absolutely.
Okay, then I'll let you just have this spot, and I'll get out of your way. So welcome to South Porcupine Bible Fellowship Assembly. Porcupine, right, Peggy? Sorry. Lord bless you while you're here.
I'm a little confused on where Porcupine starts and stops, so
you can tell the rest of the day. You've got your lapel mic, so I'll just take this one.
Well, that's great. It is a pleasure to be here with you today. I got this by default, by the way, because I was emailed 6 or 8 weeks ago saying, would you or Brother Jerry please speak? I said, sure, I'll work with Brother Jerry on that and get him right on that. Problem is, I forgot. And then he was in Fort McClellan or McMurray. There we go. And so I had no way to coordinate with him. Then guess what? I said, well, I guess I got to do this. But anyway, I want to introduce our team from East Leesville. Well, the East not in here, but anyway. On the very far end is Ms. Mary, and she's a quilter, but she's an oil painter. That's what she does. She's an oil painter. So and someone else had said last night they were an oil painter. I don't remember who it was, but that's what she likes to do. She's from Leesville. Then next to her is Miss Josie, and Miss Josie, she may look old, y'all. We was up in Calgary about 2 years ago, and we was playing soccer with the kids, and these little kids says, "You gonna play soccer? You're too old to play soccer." When she gets on the soccer field, she's like a 10-year-old. She goes crazy. She knocked them all down and scored and all kinds of stuff. No, not really. But she is a lot of fun. We had a good time in Calgary, and she's a blessing. So, I knew you was 80 years old, but I'm not gonna tell a lady the age to all these people. That'd be bad. Next to her is Miss Annette McGraw, and Annette is our office manager, financial secretary at the church. And lots of other things that we don't know what the name we call them. She just does them. Okay. And she's been a blessing. She's been there about a year, I guess. I don't know. 2 years. Time flies. I don't remember. And then sitting next to her is our associate pastor, Mr. Minister of Missions, is Jerry Key. He's the one that should be here. But God knows things that we don't know, and he can't hardly speak today. So obviously there was a plan here that I wasn't aware of until we got to where we're at today. Okay. So it is a pleasure to be with you. My two daughters, Jerry's daughter and another young man are over in the youth group. I'm guessing that's where they're at. I hope they're there. Anyway, we are happy to be here and excited to be here. And I am an air traffic controller. I have a wife and two beautiful daughters. My wife was planning on coming, and we have a business as well. And things just didn't work out for her to be able to leave the business. But and I am our traffic controller. And the thing about our traffic controllers, we talk really fast. And with my accent and talking really fast, I'm going to try to slow down and go a little slower and try to enunciate a little bit so you'll understand exactly what I'm saying. Hopefully. But in the song you played, the very last song, was a perfect introduction to what the Lord has laid on my heart today. And the title today is Blessings in the Storm of Life. And we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And Brother Jerry and I had a miscommunication, and we did not get it onto the laptop to get it onto the screen. I apologize. But Everybody probably has a Bible. If not, we can find one for you. But we're going to be in Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And in this passage, it's just right after Jesus has fed the 5,000. Let me tell you one more thing. What to do about it? See, I've lost my glasses. This is the first time I've ever spoken since I've had glasses. And I've had them for about 6 months. So if I get lost and I have to get confused or whatever, just bear with me. But I'm gonna try to wear them and speak. But the passage we're going to look at today finds the disciples. They're in a fierce storm on the Sea of Galilee. And the thing is that catches my eye right away is they're following the will of God. They're following the will of God. And I can't see out here with my glasses on, so I have to take them off and look at you. Then I have to put them back on to read what I'm talking about. So this is going to be a neat trick. Maybe I should do this. Yeah. But anyway, they are in the Sea of Galilee. And Jesus had already told them to get into the boat. So they're following Jesus' direction here. Yet they're in the middle of this fierce storm. And try as they might, they're unable to get out of the storm by themselves. And many times, even if we follow God's direction, and a lot of times if we don't follow God's directions, we get into a storm, in a life storm. And let me tell you, one time I had a storm back in February 28th, 2000. A friend of mine and I went fishing. Now, that morning, we launched the boat. It was 0 degrees. In Louisiana, that's cold, okay? I know that's probably not cold here, but that's pretty cold. So I had on every ounce of clothes. I had on coveralls. I had insulated coveralls. I had on big old hats and toboggans and gloves. And I had everything I could put on. And my partner had the same thing. And so we're going around. And the lake is, I don't know how big this lake is behind me, how far it goes. I can't see it. But I would say this lake we're on was probably about 15 or 20 times that size. And the wind came up, and we had hit a stump and cracked the transom in our boat. So we were taking on water. And the shore is about 350 meters or so from where we were at. And the boat went under. I didn't have time to get on my life jacket. So the life jacket was actually floating. And so I swam to it and got it and finally got it on. My partner had time to get his on. And we're in the water. It's 52 degrees, which is Fahrenheit now, okay? So which is about 10, 11 Celsius. And we're fighting against the wind, just as the disciples are. The wind's blowing away from the shoreline toward us, and we're trying to swim. And all those clothes we've had on for this hour is now sucking up all the water, which makes us 3 times heavier than what we were. We couldn't get to the shore. We're swimming as fast as fierce as we could. We weren't making much headway. And in this lake, there's stumps periodically around that you can grab hold and rest. For some reason, we were in a place that must have been no stumps. We swam for 20 minutes, and we're turning blue, and hypothermia is trying to set in. And my partner finally gets to a stump, to a little stob, and he sticks his stob up under his life jacket and just hangs there like kind of like a scarecrow. But I knew he and I both couldn't stay there because we would freeze to death. We've been in the water already 20 minutes. So I continue swimming to the shore as he's yelling for help. God was there that day because an old man, I say old, using that as a relative term, was up in a cove away from us. The wind was coming from him to us. So how he heard us screaming for help, he had 2 hearing aids, is beyond me. He comes out, gets in his boat, comes out and picks us up and takes us to his house and puts us in a warm shower and gets us some coffee and gets us warmed back up. But that day I was in a storm and my partner was in a storm. And my partner, who I work with, had not been walking with God like he should have been. He knew it, and he and I had talked about it on many different occasions. But that day, God used that situation to get a hold of him and get him back into the fellowship where he belonged. And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about today is life storms. No matter what you try, you can't get out by yourself. And I'm sure we've all had times like that. But God's Word tells us that while the storms are never going to be pleasant, or very few times they'll be pleasant. They always produce benefits in our lives if we allow them. As we read this passage of scripture today, it's going to reveal that there are blessings for children of God in a storm. There's blessings. And we have to accept that and embrace that. And I don't know what storms may be in your life, what storms you've had in your lives, but I do know that God has a purpose for your life. So let's turn to Scripture, Matthew chapter 14, verses 22 through 33. And it says, straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a boat and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountain privately to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the boat was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a ghost. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, why didst thou doubt? And when they were coming to the boat, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the boat came and worshipped him, saying of the truth, thou art the Son of God. Now the sea is the vessel that Jesus is using to reveal himself to the disciples. He just fed the 5,000 in case that wasn't enough for them to understand who Jesus really was. He's using the sea as a vessel to reveal himself. He'll do the same in our lives, whatever that vessel may be. Now, verse 25, it says, the fourth watch. The fourth watch is actually between 3 and 6 a.m., somewhere in that time frame, okay? Which is the darkest hours of the night. And that song that we sang, we talked about the darkness of the night. And because of storm in your life right now, it may be the darkest part of the night. It may be so dark you can't see. And you're wondering where Jesus is. The Scripture reminds us that God is ever with you. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, it says, even in the darkest hours of night, God is still God, and He is still in control. In 1 Kings 8, 12, it says, Then spoke Solomon, the Lord said that he would dwell in the thick darkness. And then in Psalms 139, 11 and 12, if I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. Even the darkest hours cannot hide God or hide you from God. God is always there. He is there even if you cannot see Him. He is in your midst. The disciples were in a fight for their lives, no doubt about it. Mark 6:48, chapter 6, verse 48 says, and he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary to them. So they were rowing against the wind, but weren't going anywhere. They weren't making any headway. So I get the impression at this point, the disciples are panicking. They're fearing for their lives, okay? There are times we feel that we have lost the battle already. The battle has already been lost in our storm, whatever that storm may be. And the things that look the darkest, that's when you look up and Jesus is there. He's been there the whole time. But sometimes it takes the darkest of the night, the darkest of our storms, to make us realize that Jesus is there. Think about Daniel. Daniel was thrown into the lion's den. I'm sure that wasn't the pleasantest experience for Daniel. But nothing happened to him. Jesus brought Daniel from the lion's den. Or how about Joseph, the coat of many colors, thrown into a well, then he was sold into slavery. All of that to be taken to Egypt and save the land. And then let's not forget about Job. Now, someone talked about Job this morning. I don't remember who it was. I don't remember names very well. But Job lost everything he had. The Sabaeans killed his servants and stole his oxen and his asses. Fire destroyed his servants and his sheep. The Chaldeans killed all his servants and stole his camels. And then the wind blew his oldest son's house down and killed all of his children. That's pretty devastating. That's devastating. And all this happened in a matter of minutes. As one was finishing their story, another guy's coming in telling Job a different story of what happened. Okay? But all these people persevered because they kept their eyes on Jesus the whole time. The whole time they were focused on God. Daniel prospered under Darius and Cyrus after he got out of the lion's den. Joseph was used in a mighty way in Egypt to feed through the drought time. And Job was brought back to greatness with all the stuff he had. He had 6,000 camels, 10,000 oxen and asses. He had 7 more sons and 3 more daughters after this time frame. Nowhere in God's Word does it tell us that life is going to be easy or there won't be any storms in life. Nowhere in God's Word does it say that. And then Jesus shows us God is bigger than the storm. Whatever the storm may be, God is bigger than that storm, no doubt. Whatever it is. The storm is a vessel used to God to reveal Himself to you. So you get to understand and know God in a deeper, more affectionate way. We shouldn't fear the storms of life. They're going to come. That's just one of those things that's going to happen. Something's going to happen in your life. This is a storm. We shouldn't fear them because they can and will bring a deeper and closer relationship to God. And Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose." Okay? To His purpose. Not my purpose, not your purpose, to His purpose. We're here for a purpose. The storms reveal that Jesus is Savior. If you look in verse 27, it says, "But straightway Jesus spoke unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. It is I, be not afraid." He reveals Himself to them. The storms of life have potential to reveal the Savior to us in a way that we've never imagined before. We've never imagined Jesus in that way or God in that way until that storm has come. And then we realize that what we've been missing all this time. He gives us the same message of hope He gave the disciples. He gave them hope that morning. He says, "Be of good cheer and be not afraid." You know, how do you have good cheer in the midst of a storm? In all things, we should give thanks. That's what God's Word says. Jesus also declared Himself, He also said to cheer up. Now, talking about cheering up in the storm, I was telling someone yesterday about my friend Sandy, who we buried him a year ago yesterday. And how do you cheer up when a man was diagnosed with brain cancer? And for the last 6 months, we spent many hours together with him laying in the bed and not doing well. So how do you cheer up during those storms? The cheer up is that I knew Sandy Sanders, and I know that he knew Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And today, he's walking the streets of gold with Jesus. But even in the midst of storm, we need to cheer up. Jesus also declared His identity. He said, "It is I." That's a pretty emphatic statement, "I." He said, "It is I." It's also the same thing He said, "I am at the door. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the bread of life. I am the good shepherd." All those are I statements. It is I. Jesus revealing Himself to him, to the disciples. And we must grasp that truth, that Jesus is the great I am. The great I am. He also has all the power of heaven and earth. Jesus also commanded them, "Do not be afraid," in verse 27. He says, "Be not afraid." We must understand that Jesus is in control of every area of our lives. If we allow Jesus to be in control of every area of our lives, He will take control. And that He is God and He possesses all the power. And once we come to that place that we can trust Him fully through all the storms will cease. The storms of life will help us focus on the faith and will allow us to grow in our faith. God uses all kinds of situations, all different types of times and places and storms for us to learn more about Him and to help us grow in the Lord. Remember, now, we're going to go back to verse 28. And where's Wade? Wade was here earlier. Is Wade still here? Wade. So you kind of, I was preparing this, and I started listening to your sermon on the internet, and I had the same verses you were using last week. And I was like, I'm not going to do that to these people again. But I love Peter. Peter's one of my favorite ones. And the first thing you said was, "I don't like Peter." I went, and then you said, "But after I got to know him, I liked him." I was like, "Oh, okay." But anyway, Peter is one of my favorite guys, by the way, and I enjoyed your sermon. But Peter answered him. You know, Peter's always, he's kind of like me, I guess. Sometimes I speak before I think. I don't know if anybody else does that, but sometimes I do that. I speak before I think, and Peter's kind of one of those guys, you know. But he said, Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." All right. That's the second time Jesus has told Peter to come. Let's go back to Mark chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, "Now as he was walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, Come after me, and I will make you become fishers of men." So this is the second time Jesus said, told to Peter, come. There's a special relationship there. Jesus is telling him to come on the water. You got to realize there's 12 men in that boat. Only one of them said, "Jesus, if it's you, let me come on the water." And Peter was the only one that got out of the boat in the storm. He's the only one that had the faith to get out of the boat. The problem was, Peter then took his eyes off of Jesus once he got into the water, started walking. He lost sight of Jesus. And we had a song, "Cast Your Eyes Upon Jesus." And Peter lost sight of Jesus and began to sink. And immediately Jesus reached out and grabbed him and saved him. Because Peter said, "Lord, save me." So he did. But there were 12 men in that boat. Peter was the only one that got out of the boat. Jesus calmed the storm, not by he didn't even say anything. When Jesus got into the boat with Peter, the storm calmed. All he had to do was get into the boat. He had power over the storms. He has power over everything in our lives. And the final thing we need to talk about is giving thanks. You say, well, how do you give thanks during the middle of a storm? There's a way. Follow God's leadership. Follow Jesus. Read your scriptures. It'll show you, even in the midst of the most fierce storm, there's time for thanks. We give thanks in all things, even in storms, even while the wind and the waves are still battering against the boat. You should be giving thanks. Nothing reveals your faith to other people. When you're trying to witness to someone, a lot of times they won't hear you if you just talk to them about Jesus Christ. That's just a fact. They don't want to hear it. However, how you live your life during these storms as a witness for Jesus Christ will reflect, and eventually that will break that barrier down. People watch you more when you're in that storm than probably any other time of your life. So if we act accordingly in our storm, you will be witnessing to someone, whether they know it or not. Okay? Nothing reveals your faith more in the Lord than you being willing to accept His will and His love, even when it looks the worst for you. As I close, there's a couple of things I want to talk about. There's hope. There's always hope, so cheer up. Whatever it is, there's always hope, so cheer up. We must know who God is. He is the great I am. And be not afraid of the storms of life, and always give thanks for what God has given you. Now, sometimes it is hard to see the blessings of a storm. It's hard to imagine the Lord bringing any good out of some situations. And I don't know what storm any of you are going through, if any. But I do know the one who still walks on the waves. I do know that if you need Him, He's there for you. Regardless whether you see Him right now or not, God is with you throughout all storms of life, whatever it may be, wherever it may be. I'd like to close in prayer. And once again, I appreciate y'all allowing me to speak here today. And I am not a preacher. I am a speaker at best. And I hope that I didn't go too fast and didn't miss what God had planned for you today. Let's pray. Father God, we love You. We praise You. We thank You for this day that You've given us. We thank You for this church, Lord, and for what it means to this community, Lord. We just ask You to bless them and keep them, Lord, and help them to be a shining light in this community, Lord. We just pray for our counterparts in Calgary as they're preparing for upward basketball as well, Lord, that Lord, You'll be with them and help them to reach those children there, Lord. Just be with us as we do basketball here and Bible school, Lord. Just be with each and every worker, Lord, each and every child that's coming. You know who they are already, Lord, that we'll be able to touch them in a special way, Lord. Just be with this group that's traveling here. Lord, just be with the youth group that goes to Great Whale River in the near future, Lord. Just touch them and guide them and help them to learn something this week that they may can apply there when they go there, Lord. We just ask You to continue blessing this fellowship, Lord, and forgive us where we fail. In Christ's name I pray forever. Amen.